Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hey, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are immersed now for the next 40 minutes in the May edition of the Botcast. And it's Nigel here, and with me this month to go deep, to go brave, to descend to places where we've never been before. I've got my crack marketing team with me, and we've got, we should go first, boys or girls? Girls should go first, shouldn't they, really? Yes. Emma, good afternoon.
Hello, everybody.
And now Emma's been a bit of a, we've kept Emma hidden under a bushel. Oh, that's where you keep your lights, isn't it? Keep under bushels. And you're back with us this week. Having your mind wasn't really with us last week, Emma, was it?
No, it was semi-detached.
Semi-detached, okay. Yeah. I know someone with a retina has that problem. So what were you last week? Go on, tell us.
I was performing in Legally Blonde at the Royal Spa Centre in Leamington Spa.
Legally Blonde.
Yeah, Legally Blonde the musical.
You had like live chihuahuas and everything, didn't you?
Yeah, and bulldogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. And it went well?
Went amazing, yeah, really good fun.
Okay, so given that you're kind of into kind of this performance malarkey and Amdram,
yeah.
Why, Emma, have we not yet seen you on the EC stage at a national event?
Oh, I don't know, maybe we'll have to organise one for later in the year.
So, and just to be clear, people know, you've been part of the team now for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And so well versed in the EC style of doing stuff, and Emma heads up our marketing team, and as part of a gang working alongside Emma is someone who has made it on stage at the EC. How has this happened? How have you?
By popular demand.
Is that what it is? So Cameron is with us. Hello, Cam.
Hello, everybody.
And so we're going to. I said we're going to descend. We're going to go a bit deeper today. And we're just going to talk about the stuff that's kind of working now from a marketing perspective. Mm-hmm. And by definition, you know, a lot of it's going to be quite specific. Won't all be applicable to everybody. But a few insights here that I think will make a difference. And I want to start with something that's been really interesting to see. You can tell, okay, at a glance, from your inbox, which EC members were at the last national event, can't you? Mm-hmm. And you can tell because they're the EC members who are using emojis in their emails.
Yes.
Tell us, I mean, because emojis, Cameron, I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, just why on earth would they matter? Surely they're for the kids. You know, your 10-year-old brother uses emojis. What on earth would I want to put them in an email for? I run a professional organisation.
Well, that may be true, Nigel.
You weren't meant to laugh at that last bit.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting conversation that I've actually had with quite a few people, including some people even here at the EC.
Some of our less enlightened brethren.
Yes, you might say that. But basically, what it comes down to is people's inboxes, now more than ever, are overcrowded with stuff that people, well, they just don't have time to read.
Yeah.
They just have lots and lots of marketing messages coming at them left, right, and center. And the whole point about emojis, kind of the main force behind them, is that what they do is they get you that precious bit of attention from the people that you're trying to reach.
Yeah.
Because there's this little bit of color, this little bit of excitement, this little bit of difference that makes you stand out in their inbox and makes them more likely to click your email, which at the end of the day is the whole aim of your subject lines. So you see these people putting these emojis in their subject lines, and suddenly you scroll to your inbox and you've got this bright yellow faces or these big...
You used a lemon this morning.
A lemon, yes, in the club email. I thought I'd add that one in for you. But yeah, these things, they just stand out, they grab your interest, and at the end of the day, that's what subject lines are there to do.
So for those that missed it, the club email, we're recording this in April, clearly, it's a Monday, and this morning's club email was a story of a lemon squeezer. And so Cameron put a lemon emoji. And is that okay? There was an emoji fall out there. The in the subject line, and this is the point: putting the emojis in the subject line helps to get your email opened. It does not. It doesn't trivialise your business. Although I've got an email going out next week. Can't say any more, but I'm using the poo emoji.
Brilliant. I'd open it.
Pushing the boundaries.
I wonder how that would perform as the only thing in the subject line if you just sent out.
Just sent out a poo emoji.
Yeah. Step I bet you get quite a few.
Do you know what? We should do a little test on that. So there you are. We'll see what we're formulating strategy on the podcast. So emojis, though, I mean, a couple of things. First of all, most email now. The majority of email is dealt with on mobile devices. It's either dealt with on phones or on tablets. Mm-hmm. And emojis are very at home on phones and tablets.
Yes.
But even on desktops, emojis are shown in most email clients.
Yeah, I think in terms of actual email providers, everything except for Outlook 2003 will render your emojis for you. But then it depends on the computer you're using as well. So if you have an older PC, sometimes they might not render properly. And it depends on what emojis you use as well, because there's sort of, if you want to delve deep, like I have, into the history of emojis and track them all the way back to their origins.
How did emojis start? Did it tell?
Well, they started years ago before, they were really simple little Unicode icons. So things like the basic smiley face emoji. Will render on pretty much any device, no matter what you're using. But for example, the lemon emoji is a more recent addition.
Lemon's very 21st century, isn't it? Exactly. Smiley face, a little bit 20th century.
There we go. And for those of you who share my passion for emojis, you should be excited about the new lineup for 2017 that's being announced, including broccoli and...
Broccoli!
Dinosaurs, all sorts. Just think of the possibilities.
When are they coming?
God, they don't. They like to keep it, play the cards close to the
chest. Who's
they?
The
emoji
people.
I feel like there's some hooded organization somewhere lit by candles designing these emojis ready for their release.
They have a little parade when they've got a new emoji. They put it on a silk cushion and parade it
all
through the town.
All that kind of stuff. But there's some new ones coming. But I can't remember what we're talking about.
Well, how are we going to put it into the merging into the subject, maybe, for different types of...
Okay, yeah. So they render on pretty much anything, but depending on which emoji you use, they might render on some stuff and others.
I don't know how you put up with it.
it's tough, but...
Oh, my God. But the one thing we've had trouble with is that we find that some CRM systems are struggling with emojis because it is such a new thing. We found even Infusionsoft's latest email builder... struggles with emojis, which is really annoying when you want to use them as much as some people do. But there's certain things you can do. For example, we found a tool that lets you put emojis in the subject line of your Infusionsoft emails, because if you try and copy and paste a regular emoji in there, and if you test that properly, you'll find that actually it doesn't render and won't actually show up in people's inboxes. So to get around that, we found a little tool which is the subject line assistant by a company called Blue State Digital.
Okay.
Which is in America. If you just Google Blue State Digital.
Blue State Digital.
Subject line assistant, like the top result there. And you can paste in your emoji and your subject line, and it'll encode it. So it's all sort of coded and garbled. And it'll look a bit funny, but when you send that in the subject line of your Infusionsoft email, it'll pull through all the emojis, and it'll work.
Now, is that on the hub anywhere? Or is that a little botcast only nugget we've just given out there?
I think that might be a little botcast only nugget, isn't it, Cameron?
Let me tell you. Let me give you the right answer.
Okay.
Yes, it is in the hub, Nige.
Well, it is in the hub. It's in the 50 Shades of Marketing national event bonus limited edition super cool implementation plan.
Okay. So there we go. That's where to find it.
That is where to find it.
All right.
Or just Google Blue State Digital.
Yeah.
Subject line assistant.
Okay. Now, so that's emojis. And we mustn't forget, just to recap clearly, the reason why you want to use emojis is because they push up your open rates. And on average, what we're seeing, and we send quite a lot of emails, we are seeing upwards of a 60% uplift in open rates. So that's a big old uplift. It's worth going to Blue State Digital and getting a bit of code, and you know, looking and trying to find the broccoli emoji, or I need the lemon emoji.
There we go.
But just to make them work. We had an interesting question from a member last week. I think you dealt with it, Cam, actually, who wanted to know how to put a signature, an actual kind of handwritten signature, in an email.
Yes, I think they've seen the club email.
Yeah.
Which is signed off.
Nigel,
with your signature, and thought, how can I get a piece of that action?
Mm-hmm.
That looks so good. My God. It does make the email feel a bit more personal, I guess. And I guess they wanted to replicate that for themselves.
So are we going to give away our secrets then?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure we should give away such classified information.
Okay. How do you do it?
Well, okay. Okay. If you're ready, you might want to get a pen and paper.
No, because that shows tremendous botcast ignorance, Cameron. You're going to be sensitive because we know that 97% of all botcast listeners are currently driving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's not kid ourselves here.
So pull over. Yeah. Be legal. Don't get any points.
Here we go.
It's not illegal to listen to a botcast.
No, but if they start writing pieces of paper and putting things on
their
phone.
Well, that would be dangerous. So, yeah, okay. Actually, technically, that's probably not illegal either, actually. Interesting discussion.
There we go.
Can you use a pen while you're driving? That is interesting, isn't it? I don't know about that.
I'll have to Google it.
I'll never try. You get kind of ink on your dashboard, wouldn't you, and stuff. So, anyhow, let's get back on track. Come on, guys.
Okay.
Keep this sharp. Let's get to the point.
To get a signature in your emails, what you do is you get yourself a decent pen. We use a fine point Sharpie, for example.
And you write on the screen.
You do not write. Do not write on the screen.
Okay? I repeat, do not write.
It is important that you do not write in Sharpie on your computer screen. That will be a bad thing to do. No, you get a nice, crisp, clean piece of paper. You sign the piece of paper. You then scan that piece of paper using a scanner into your computer. And then you can use anything from Canva to Photoshop to PowerPoint even to remove the background of that picture of your signature and save that as a little PNG file.
Yeah.
And then you
could be a good, and if that's a real problem, good job for Fiverr.
Yeah.
Go to Fiverr, Fiverr. And just remove the background from this image, and you basically get that for $5. You'll get that done, and you get the image back with you.
And then you literally just stick that in your email.
Stick it. I think you mean insert.
Insert.
Yeah. Okay.
Use
so
an image block.
How are emails working for us at the moment, Emma?
Yeah, they're working well. We've actually done a bit of experimenting recently. Cameron did something where he tested two different emails, and one had some pictures in it that were like with a play button on to kind of click through to watch a video, and the other one just had text lines, and it just had the highlighted text where to click here to play the video, and we were quite surprised to see that actually.
Well, because so basically one email looked lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It had lovely images in there. Calls to action on images. There were multiple images, weren't there, in the email, and one just looked kind of ugly. It was just the text. But the text one outperformed the beautiful one by quite some margins, I recall.
It really stresses me out.
Do you know, I
hate it.
Part of the reason why that might have happened is when you've got images, sometimes I find that if I don't know who a company is, for example, as well, and you see different things, it makes you a little bit more nervous, especially if the provider that's putting the emails in the inbox is showing, like, image not loaded or stuff like that. You can't always get around that, so actually sometimes it's good to mix it up, and I wouldn't say completely stop doing those, because when they do arrive nicely, they look great and they do get click-throughs, but in terms of mixing it up a bit, don't always feel the urge to put images in there, because the simple ones do work as well.
Yeah, better. Unfortunately, but it's a common trend that we're seeing, which causes me a lot of pain, because I do have sort of minor perfectionism and one thing to look nice and good. But the thing is, when we see the same thing with our Facebook ads. If we get our designer, Andrew, to design a really good-looking Facebook ad, and then compare it to something that Joe knocks up literally in 1 minute using like
random photos that she's found.
Just random fonts, and it doesn't look great at all. But we find that usually the uglier the marketing, the more effective it is.
Well, just to be clear, I mean, it is. This has been the case. We've known this for a long time. We keep trying to disprove it because we do like nice looking
we
stuff.
We like to have sexy marketing.
But ugly works when it comes to getting people's attention. Mm. And, you know, certainly emails in particular and Facebook ads. But going back to the email piece, the reality of it is that we are seeing a meaningful and consistent reduction in open rates.
Yeah.
It's just getting harder to get people's attention. It's harder now than it was in May last year. It was harder in May last year than it was in May the year before. And that trend is not about to be reversed. And I mean, there's all sorts of reasons for that. But the truth of it is, you know, email is still a useful marketing pillar. It's still a very useful communication media. But you can't put everything on it in the way that some businesses have in the past. And it's forcing us to explore and experiment and find out and indeed to pay attention to what's happening in a much more rigorous way perhaps than we've done previously. Because now we do get excited about open rates because we do look at tests and this email did look lovely and we like it a lot better. But it doesn't perform as well, and therefore it doesn't get sent out to the masses. And just to be clear, we do our tests when we're doing emails. We'll take a fairly small portion of the list. So we'll do a test for instance, we might have got the two emails. What can you remember what the sample size was on that one that you did?
Oh, I think we did. It was a list of, well, it's 10% basically of the whole list we did. I think it was a list of about 30,000.
So you sent out to 3,000, split into two.
Yeah.
So we split, so 10, that's a good guide, by the way, to 10% of the list. So it brings the numbers down, but you're only sending 100 or 200 out for your test, because you will start to see a difference. Because the differences we see are not, they're not like 0.1 or 1%. They're often in double figure percentage differences, aren't they?
Mm, yeah, even from that small kind of sample size.
So do the test with the 10% of the list, and then send 90% of the list the test that worked of the two.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get the maximum response. And if you're not doing that, you know, you are just recognise the price you're paying, because you will be getting less people seeing your message. And you know, the thing I'm very acutely aware of, you know, if I get members, I've got some people in a circle, and they're getting, like, one lady was getting a 4% open rate. So she's very excited that she's got 10,000 people on her list. But the problem with a 4% open rate is it means that 9,600 of them are never opening her emails. So really, she's only got 400 people on her list, which feels very different. And these are big numbers. And one of the ways to kind of penetrate this kind of murky world of getting people's attention is to jump on the messenger stuff, Cam, which you're pioneering for us here.
Yes, the Facebook Messenger ads and sponsored messages, which are working really well for us, actually. I mean, Facebook's going to become more and more important to businesses with kind of the decline in email. We're seeing it now when you combine an email campaign with if you upload the same audience, the same list of people as a custom audience on Facebook, and so you're kind of hitting them from both angles, if you like.
So you're sending emails, but you're also sending Facebook ads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Only to those people who you're sending emails to.
Yeah.
With a custom audience there. That works really well. But with this new Facebook Messenger stuff, we're seeing that is just, well, we're getting very excited about that. Me and Joe did a little dance around the office.
You did,
the
actually.
Other day.
Yeah.
When we looked at the results from one of our campaigns, and it had delivered I think it was 38,600% ROI.
38,000%
yes.
ROI. So if I had spent a pound,
mm-hmm.
I'd be getting £38,000 back.
Yes. I mean, we extrapolated it over, I mean, it was it's an 18th month.
I've got another pound here for you.
Yeah, I know. Give you a tenner.
Woohoo! Thinking big!
But when we looked at the lifetime value of the members that we bought in from that, then yeah, it was pretty crazy stuff.
So how does it work?
Well,
what did you do?
Okay,
you can't tease. I mean, these people are hurtling along the highways and byways of the country. You can't lob out a 38,000% ROI and then expect me to move on.
Well, the truth is, all the messenger ads, what we use them for primarily is just to initiate a conversation.
Okay.
Because it's a lot easier to sell something to people when you actually talk to them.
Yes.
Which a lot of business owners seem to put off. They like to try and automate as much as possible, and they love the idea of clicking a button and sales come in automatically. But actually, talking to people is still one of the most effective ways to actually get new customers in and to actually make those sales. So we ran a series of messenger ads. They were messenger destination ads.
Okay.
So they were ads that would show up in people's newsfeed on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they clicked on the ad, it would send them to Facebook Messenger in a conversation with us, in a chat with us.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the ads were going out, and they were basically, they were selling the program,
yep,
which we had just launched at the time. And so they were going out to various different audiences, basically just saying, if they've got any questions, just click here to have a chat with us. And they had some kind of bullet points in there, and the graphics were very similar to the ones we showed at the National, which were just like, ask us with some question marks and all that good stuff. And so we got quite a few people clicking through, both members and non-members clicking through, wanting to talk to us about the program and discuss, you know, what it was, how it could help them, what they needed to do, that kind of stuff. And so we had our little team here back in the office manning our Facebook Messenger chat, manning all these conversations. And quite a few of them, well, yeah, a lot of them, converted into program members.
So, but you see, this is where I think we've got to be, again, careful and sensitive, because it's all well for you. You've got a team here at the office that can do that, that can log on to and can be there and can be aware. But if I've got a small business, What do I do here? Does this rule out the messenger apps? If I'm, because basically what I've got to be is around reasonably promptly in order to respond.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like if you were having a conversation on the phone with someone, and if you ask them a question on the phone, you'd expect them to kind of reply instantly
on the telephone.
On the phone,
true.
Right?
Yeah, it's really annoying.
You don't expect live chat, well, isn't it?
Right? So, right? That's kind of common sense. You wouldn't pause for that. And with this Facebook Messenger stuff, because when you're usually using Facebook Messenger, you expect your friends and the people you're messaging to kind of reply pretty instantly. So the quicker you can get on it, the better. We find that people, the response rates will get. If someone's messaged us and then we've not been there in time, and even if we get back to them within a few hours, say, some of the time they won't come back to that conversation. They'll have moved on with their life. They'll have forgotten what they were going to ask us, that kind of stuff. So it definitely pays to be there. But, I mean, it's very easy, even if you're just a one-man band, to set up notifications for your Facebook page so that your phone will buzz when someone sends you a message and you can just jump on it straight on your phone. Because it is Facebook Messenger. It's like chatting with anyone that you would be.
The podcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
I mean, and it's where you've played quite a part here, because we've got a kind of a style, a house style, as well as responding. That is, it's important to talk about this, I think, because it is quite different to professional business speak, isn't it? I mean, you. You do use quite a lot of emojis in your replies.
Well, people like emojis.
Okay.
People like them. We found that emojis, the lasting impression people get when you use emojis in your messages versus not, is a much warmer, much fuzzier, much happier.
Warmer, fuzzier, and happier. But I can relate to that. Even as a kind of a kind of craggy kind of, you know, 50-something-year-old, I do kind of get what you mean there. And they're not going to go away, and embracing them does. It's another point of difference. That's the key thing. But it isn't just what you say, it is the way that you say it, especially on the messenger apps, that make a difference. But the volume of people using these messenger apps is tremendous now, Cam, isn't it? It's, in terms of proportions of society, and therefore proportions of your customer base, it's a big deal.
It's really great to use those kind of style live chat things on sales pages, especially. You know, we've used one recently where we had it, so it popped up saying, have you got any questions on a sales page? And the amount of people that then started asking questions and then bought was probably so much higher than what it would have been if we hadn't have had that there, because we stemmed that conversation, we made it happen.
I
was just going to say, and that's a good kind of, you can actually link both Facebook Messenger ads and that live chat on your website as well, using tools like ManyChat, which we spoke about at the National, which lets you actually embed a Facebook Messenger button, like chat feature, on your website, on specific pages, so you can actually bring the Messenger to your website.
Okay. What are we thinking here in this room? Emma, I'll look to you first on this one, about the role of social media at the moment in 2017 in terms of its ability to generate meaningful leads and interest.
Oh, well, I think it's definitely going to, with the reduction of emails, you need to get out there in places where people just keep coming across what you're doing. And in terms of social media, the part it's playing for us at the moment is we just put a lot of value out of there, a lot of useful blogs and information of stuff that people might be looking for, but they're likely to come across because of the places that they're looking for other things, and just keep putting it there, because everything that we kind of put in front of people through social media, there is a call to action where people will put information in to find out more stuff, so then we're bringing them to us.
Because we've got a nice, and it's a flow more than a trickle, a nice flow at the moment of people that are coming into EC and joining us because they first discovered us and engage with us on social. And we're doing a lot of social listening as well. We've got some tools. We use a platform called Mention, which does come at a price, but it's certainly a price I'm very happy to pay in terms of what we're paying, you know, what we're getting from it. It allows us to get the right alerts and insights into what's being said across social, not about EC specifically, but about the things that EC does. So where people or businesses are having conversations or got problems or challenges in terms of getting customers or with their marketing, we're able to get visibility of that conversation and interject an input into it, and that's definitely helping as well. One of the challenges, and it underpins this, and I'm sure people are listening to this today, the biggest challenge for all of us as business owners is the perennial one about how do I get all this stuff done. It sounds like a great idea, but oh god, even just like getting emojis, that's going to be like, you know, that's a challenge. Even going to Blue State Digital.
Nice.
Okay. I have no idea what it was called, a subject line something or other.
Assistant.
Thank you.
Subject line assistant.
Blue State
Digital.
Thank you.
Subject line assistant.
But it all feels like a lot of work. And we've been putting together a project over the last 3 months now, which is coming to a head. And by the time you are listening to this podcast in the early weeks of May, if everything goes to plan between now and recording it, and then when you're listening to it, the EC's Done For You service will be up and running and available for Masterminders, Inner Circle members, and people that are on the program, the Get Where You're Going or Get Where You Want to Be program. So, just want to talk a bit about the Done For You program, Cameron. How is this going to work? What can people use it for? How expensive is it going to be? How useful can it really be in terms of helping our members to get more stuff done and make more stuff happen?
Well, really useful, obviously. So,
thanks for that, Cameron.
So, our new Done For You service is, it's different to anything we've ever done before, and it's there to help you get those sort of one-off projects and marketing assets just done and dusted, but not just done in a way that's kind of outsourced to someone else, but in a way that's done by people who know what good really is in this kind of field.
Okay, so a couple of things here. So it's not a subscription service, you know. You're not buying monthly.
No.
It's a menu-based service.
So a la carte.
an a la carte menu. Okay.
Nice.
The so you get to pick off the menu.
Yes.
And you can, what is there? There's a couple of dozen things on there. Give me some examples of stuff.
Whole selection. So from blog post images to Facebook ad copywriting to one-off marketing emails to entire launch campaigns and sales letters and YouTube ad scripts and...
Okay, so there's a menu of things that you can do. And it's not available to everybody, is it, Cam?
No, it is very exclusive.
Okay.
Very exclusive.
How who can have access to the Done For You service?
Well, it's literally just members of the program, Inner Circle, and Mastermind.
Okay. So you have to be on the EC program, on in Inner Circle, or in Mastermind at the moment. Mm-hmm. That's because we're managing the quality of this, because the work's getting done by the EC team.
Mm-hmm.
We have got a menu of services. We've got it's very straightforward. You tell us what you want. There's a standard brief that is completed and submitted. You pay at the point of order, and there's a different timetable for each different element. So some of the things come back in 3 days. I think the longest is like 3 weeks. But there's a price and there's a menu, and that's what you kind of get, and you can buy it and then get on with other stuff. It's designed to help move you forward and get more stuff done. But you're going to be getting quality deliverables, and the deliverables you're getting, the vast majority of stuff on the Done For You program, they are all marketing assets.
Yes.
They are assets that are going to stay with you in the business and serve you for many weeks and months to come.
Yeah, I think when we've done, say, things like the implementer, where we've had people come here and they have that time to sit and focus on specific things they want to get done.
Yes.
It's all good and well when they've got that time out of their diary to come here and do it. And obviously they've got the EC team here where they can book time with us and kind of, you know, tap into our knowledge. This is, you know, the complete benefit of this is that you haven't got to leave your office. You're literally just passing the work over to us here. And then we're just managing your expectation in terms of how long things will take. But it's all written before you do anything. You can see it all laid out in front of you.
So that it's all designed to help people get more stuff done. One way we skipped off on an email, and Emma's been waving at me and flagging at me, and I've now understood the note. She sent me this thing across saying yam, ? I think she's offering me a yam. This is yet another mail merge, because I asked a question earlier, Emma, about how, you know, email is getting harder to get things delivered, but yet another mail merge is a little tool that helps significantly to get more emails delivered. In truth, probably more useful than emojis.
I definitely agree, but they're both great. And to be fair to Cameron, he introduced me to yet another mail merge, and it was his thing that he got really excited about, and then I got more excited about it and kind of stole it, and now I tell everybody about it. But we're a team, so we share ideas. But no, what's great about yet another mail merge is it makes all the emails that you send out, it's like an add-on for your Gmail account. Or can you use it on other ones as well, Cameron? Different? No, is it just Gmail? Gmail.
Yeah.
So if your company's emails are set up through Gmail, it's an add-on that you can buy. In fact, you can actually get a free one for a small amount. If you only send out 50 emails a day, you can get it for free. But I send out more than that, so I've I've got like $25,
more
I think
than
it 50 costs.
50 emails?
So ours costs $25 a month, and I can send 1,500 emails a day. And what's good about it is any email that I send, it comes from, I can put, you know, Emma Sansom or Emma at the EC, but it comes from like a personal Gmail account. It comes from my Gmail account. So it goes into their, you know, their normal inbox rather than, you know, some of these spam settings that put different systems into, you know, promotions or junk or whatever. You kind of bypass that, and it's really simple to get and set up as well. It's all
well. There's tutorials on how to use yet another mail merge on the EC Hub. But again, in round numbers, in broad terms, what's it doing in terms of open rates?
Oh, they're so much higher. There's, you know,
what,
over
5%, 10%.
No, double the amount of people.
100% uplift in open rates.
Are opening in the mail merge.
And but because you have to take the data out of your CRM and put it into your Google app spreadsheet and stuff, so it's faff and work, isn't it?
Well, in terms of, it's not that difficult to do, because if your CRM system is well organised and it's just down to exporting, I mean, every time I do something through Yet Another Mail Merge, I export that list, and I do actually give them a little tag in Infusion as well.
A little what, sorry?
A little tag.
You give in a little Infusion. Tag?
Yeah, I give them a little tag just to show that I've used them on Yet Another Mail Merge as well, because it's interesting then when they become customers, because they're seeing your emails and opening them and clicking them, that the amount of people that have got that Yet Another Mail Merge tag is you know, there's a lot of those that are coming in. Yeah. So
have you heard of the Bay City Rollers, either of you?
I've heard of them.
Have you, what do you know about the Bay City Rollers?
Nothing
at all. No.
They're a band, aren't they?
They were a band, yeah.
That's all I know.
There was a time around 1974-75 when I would have been 8 or 9 years of age. I mean, they were the One Direction of their time. With the Bay City Rollers, and they had a big hit with a song called Give a Little Love, okay. Which has come into my head now as you said Give a Little Tag, and I'm already thinking about reforming the band to Give a Little Tag, Take a Little Tag, Be Prepared to Forsake a Little Tag, and when the sun comes shining through,
wow.
You'll know what to do. No.
You should come and join our theatre.
I definitely shouldn't.
That beautiful voice.
Les McEwan, that was the name of the lead singer. Some of the stuff that's retaining my brain. Look him up. Anyway, listen, many of our listeners will absolutely, there'll be one or two, you're either a Bay City Rollers fan or an Osmonds fan. And I'm not going to sing the Osmonds.
And they called it. Is that the Osmonds?
That was Donny Osmond. Yeah, Puppy Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we could do Donny and Marie, Emma, you and me, but we won't.
Let's save it for another day.
Okay, I think that's the best. That's the best thing to do. So, look at the time, man. I've got time to sing flipping 70s hits. So final little bits on the podcast then, Cameron. You know, this is your second appearance on here.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, your belief is that you're back by popular demand. I mean, obviously, I got let down by my main guest, and we had to bring a replacement in at late notice. But you know, our final kind of thoughts for members who are driving along here now. You know, as far as boosting their marketing, improving their response rates, helping them to bring in customers more effectively. Over the next few weeks, what's the Cameron insight that he's got from today? I mean, what's your big piece?
The first thing I do is like, as the next time you're in the office, whether that's in the next few minutes when you arrive from your drive, or right now if you're not listening to your car,
no one listens to the podcast in the office. I promise you, there's not a single person now listening to this in the office. If there is,
you need to write to us on Facebook so we can prove Nigel wrong. Yeah. If
you listen to the podcast in the office, let Cameron send you a prize.
Yes.
He'll give you some done-for-you credits.
There we go. But the first thing I do is literally I would, the next email I send out to my list or to my customers, all I would do is put an emoji at the start of the subject
line. Okay.
Yeah. And split test it.
And just see what it does to your open rates, because I'm pretty sure I would almost bet my life they would go up.
Wow.
I would almost bet my life. Almost bet my life.
Not quite. Possibly.
Well, and it's such an unfulfilled life because he's not yet experienced the Bay City Rollers.
But that's just a really simple, really easy thing that'll only take you literally 1 minute to do. And you could see quite a big improvement
in your open rates
and therefore
test it, comment on it, share on the Facebook group, and genuinely, if you are listening to the podcast in the office, let us know, we'll do something for you. Emma, what's your biggie?
My biggie is that there's so many different things that you can do to lists of people, whether it's direct mail, email, to even texting. Like when we've sent some stuff out recently, we've incorporated text in that part of the campaign. And a lot of people will have big lists and they'll just keep blasting stuff out to it and just the same old stuff. Rather than using emojis or doing different split tests on the emails, you're better taking smaller chunks of data and actually following them through their journey and then thinking, right, well, they didn't open the email. I've got their address. Why don't I do something to them? Why don't I send them something in the post and kind of do it and split that list so that you are trying to hit every single person through social media, through Facebook, through direct mail and text and stuff as well.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
But you've got this brand new amazing thing done for you, Mr. Cameron over here.
Okay. Hey, listen, do you know what my one thing is? Oh, all right, I know what to tell you.
Yes,
what
Nigel.
What is it, Nigel? Please, tell us.
No, I might sulk now. No one's interested. I'm not taking up a career.
To be honest, I had a little blonde moment where I was expecting someone else to say yes back. I forgot that it was to us. We were talking about everybody else listening in. I feel like everyone's with us there right now.
The audience participation is lacking. I was waiting. In this podcast.
Come on, guys.
I think you alluded to it. You talked about it earlier on, Cameron. Talk to somebody. If everybody listening to this podcast rang three people up tomorrow, just made three calls. Hey, whether they're not cold calls necessarily, but people, existing customers, people that have inquired, just ring them up and talk to them. You've met more sales. And if every business in the country made three phone calls a day that they're not currently making, we'd fix all our economic problems. Because you're right, business gets done when people talk to each other. And at the end of the day, and as marketers, you know, we do have to stimulate the conversations, and that's where the things we've talked about today in this podcast, the emoji edition, it's all helpful stuff, but nothing beats good old conversation.
Yeah.
And it's been a pleasure having a conversation with the two of you,
this
afternoon. I apologise once again for my Basie Joyless tribute act, which I do think I actually need to go and form now. Anyone else wants to join me?
I'll be in it. I'll do your show for a while.
They were a boy band, them.
Oh.
We're a boy band.
Can't we make a new 2017 version? And
listen, you go set up your own version of Bananarama, and I'm going to reform the Bay City Rollers. Give a little tag. Take a little tag. Be prepared to forsake a little tag. That's all from the podcast. Drive safely, because I know that's what you're doing. And we're back in June. I'll get a better audience. It'll be more insightful and more helpful. But hopefully, the input from the guys today has been useful for you. Thank you, Cameron.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Emma.
Thanks for having me.
Drive safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Podcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Podcast is copyright Entrepreneur's Circle 2015.